Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I thank the Lord that you're able to join me as we share the good things of the Lord on this broadcast. Well, with the Lord's help, we're going to continue on in a message I've been sharing from the life of Gideon with some very powerful spiritual applications to our lives today. Now, where have we gone so far? We see that Israel was in a really, really bad place. They disobeyed the Lord, and they were impoverished by the Midianites for 7 years. God sends a prophet and basically says, don't be afraid of the God of the Amorites, the land in which you live, but you've not obeyed my voice. And then, shortly after that, we see the angel of the Lord appearing to Gideon, and Gideon is called to lead the children of Israel. And of course, his response is, I don't think this is a really good idea. I'm not very important or significant. But the Lord reassures him that he is with him. And so the Spirit of the Lord comes upon him. He calls Israel together. 32,000 respond. And then God gives all of them a personal choice. Anyone who's fearful or faint-hearted, you go home. And so only 10,000 remained. And then beyond personal choice, God also gave a divine purging, if you will. He set some further restrictions or requirements on those whom he was going to use to give the victory. And he did that by having the men of Israel go down to the river. Some just got down on their knees and drank, most of them, 9,700, but 300 knelt down and they put their hand in the water in their palms and they lapped the water from their hand. And God said, okay, Gideon, you see those? Those are the ones I want to use. And then God tells Gideon, all right, you go down for I have given Midian into your hand. However, see, the Lord knows our heart. He knew that Gideon needed further encouragement. So he and his servant go sneaking down to the camp, and he overhears two soldiers talking to themselves, and this one guy says, I had a dream, and this barley cake came in and just collapsed a tent, and the other soldier said, this is nothing save the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel, who God is going to deliver Midian and all the host into his hand. In other words, they were obviously fearful, and God used these two enemy soldiers to confirm to Gideon that God was surely, truly with him. He had tried the Lord with a couple fleeces. Remember, the fleece of wood, either to become wet or to remain dry. And there was a confirmation and an encouragement that God was working in Gideon's life so he would be able to follow through. God deals very gently with our insecurities. He reaffirms his presence, but he does want us to obey him. Remember, I mean, as Moses tried to kind of talk out of or get out of this divine commissioning, the Lord finally at one point got angry and said, all right, I'll give you Aaron, your brother. However, we do see that the God is faithful to give us all the encouragement we need. He knows if we're stepping out for the first time. The more experience we get, he doesn't have to be quite as dramatic. But this was a dramatic illustration to Gideon. And so we see that, this is a dream given to the enemy. It made it especially convincing. And what happens, Gideon literally falls down to worship, which is the only appropriate response to an impending move of God. He returns to raise the battle cry. And of course, the bread, barley bread, is the word of God. So let me read now verse 15. And it was so when Gideon heard the telling of the dream and the interpretation thereof that he worshipped and returned into the host of Israel and said, Arise, for the Lord hath delivered into your hand the host of Midian. What do we see here? This is a brilliant example of faith speaking. He's speaking past tense. The work has already been accomplished before the fact. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And so when he had this, his heart was filled with faith, and as a result, he was able to inspire faith into the hearts of those 300 men. Remember, now, is this in the natural impossible? 300 men are facing an army of 135,000. That's ridiculous in the natural, except God was in control. This was his plan, his way of doing it. So now let's now actually look at the battle, and I'm going to read it for you in the seventh chapter, verses 16 through 22. And he, this is Gideon, divided the 300 men into three companies, and he put a trumpet in every man's hand with empty pitchers and lamps within the pitchers, or torches, if you will, which are lamps. And he said unto them, Look on me, and do likewise. And behold, when I come to the outside of the camp, it shall be that, as I do, so shall ye do. In other words, what you see me doing, you do that. When I blow with a trumpet, I and all that are with me, then blow ye the trumpet also on every side of all the camp, and say, The sword of the Lord and of Gideon. So Gideon and the 100 men that were with him came unto the outside of the camp in the beginning of the middle watch, and they had but newly set the watch, and they blew the trumpets and brake the pitchers that were in their hands. And the three companies blew the trumpets and brake the pitchers and held the lamps in their left hands and the trumpets in their right hands to blow with. And they cried, The sword of the Lord and of Gideon. And they stood, every man in his place, round about the camp, and all the host ran and cried and fled. And the 300 blew the trumpets, and the Lord set every man's sword against his fellow, even throughout all the host. And the host fled to Bethshittah in Zerareth, and the border of Abimaholo unto Tabith. So basically, the entire camp of the enemy was routed. They were so confused, they were so shocked, they were so stunned that they literally went about killing one another. So what do we see here? We see this attack required close coordination and the element of surprise. The soldier's job was to stand faithfully while the Lord was creating the condition of victory. Remember, we see this throughout the New Testament. Remember the 15th chapter of Exodus, and the children of Israel were beside themselves. The Egyptian army was approaching, and they were cut off at the Red Sea. Well, the Lord told Moses, raise your rod, and the sea parted miraculously. And then we see another example in 2 Chronicles, the 20th chapter, verse... Actually, I'm going to start reading in verse 15. This is the account of Jehoshaphat and Jahaziel, the son of Ephath, and he gave a prophetic word in verse 15, and I want to read that. And he said, Hearken ye, all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, Be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Do you hear that, beloved? The battle you're facing is not yours, but God. And in verse 17, he goes on to say, You shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Jerusalem and the inhabitants of Jerusalem and all Judah fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. Praise God. So we see that as we obey the Lord, God will give a victory. It might be ridiculous in the natural. Certainly in the case of Jehoshaphat, certainly in the case of Gideon, it was absurdly ridiculous in the natural. But we see God giving victory. And there are actual symbols of victory in this passage of scripture I shared with you. The trumpet, if you will, is a symbol of testimony. It's the prophetic word. And what do we see? They had pitchers. Yeah, the trumpet was in their right hand. The pitcher was in their left. That's just a clay vessel. And they had basically a torch inside that pitcher. Well, what application can we see today? Remember, I've been sharing this entire beautiful story to encourage your heart that God is pulling out a remnant. He's calling you. The fact that you're listening is a very suspect coincidence, because God is speaking to your heart regardless of how you feel about yourself. You're part of a remnant He is calling out of Israel, if you will, to be, as it were, a soldier for such a time as this. The pitcher is self to be broken. We are clay vessels. We are earthen vessels made of clay. Our self has to be broken. Why? To let the light shine out. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. The torches were inside the jar, and they were probably smoking firebrands, which would ignite into flame when waved in the air. And of course, the torch, that very flame, is the fire of God's Spirit. And the shout, they were to shout the sword of the Lord in Gideon, that was praise. Beloved, that makes me think of Psalm 149 and 6. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth, and a two-edged sword in their hand, to execute vengeance upon the heathen and punishments upon the people, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute upon them the judgment written. This honor have all his saints. Beloved, that's what we're to do. You've got a testimony. Your heart needs to be purified. Your self needs to be broken, and the fire of the Holy Spirit will ignite your voice in testimony and in praise. Praise God. Well, I could go on for an hour, but I must bring this broadcast to a close. I invite you to write. If you need assurance, just like Gideon did, if you need your self-confidence boosted, won't you write? The announcer will give our contact information. Until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass. May God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
Well, this has been the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Sister Glass. Thank you for spending time with us. We pray it's been a time of ministry and encouragement for you. If you would like to write to Sister Glass, there are a couple of ways you can do so. You can write and address your envelope to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. Or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop Sister Glass an email. Again, write to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho, 83606, or send her an email through our website, unveiledchrist.org. And please remember that your prayers and tax-deductible support allow this ministry to continue on this station. Until next time, God bless.
Oh,